So, reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, first chapter, entitled The First Step in God Realization, text number 6. Hitavan Sankhya Yogabhyam Swadharma Parinistaya Janmalabha Parapumsa Ante Narayana Smriti Hetavan. All these, Sankhya, complete knowledge of matter and spirit, Yogabhyam, knowledge of mystic power, Swadharma, particular occupational duty, Parinistaya, by full perception, Janma, birth, Labaha, gain, Paraha, the supreme, Punsam, of a person, Ante, at the end, Narayana, the personality of Godhead, Smritihe, remembrance. Translation: the highest perfection of human life, achieved either by complete knowledge of matter and spirit, by practice of mystic powers, or by perfect discharge of occupational duty, is to remember the personality of Godhead at the end of life. Purport. Narayana is the transcendental personality of Godhead beyond the material creation. Everything that is created, sustained, and at the end annihilated is within the compass of the Mahatattva material principle and is known as the material world. The existence of Narayana, or the personality of Godhead, is not within the jurisdiction of this Mahatattva. And as such, the name, form, attributes, etc. of Narayana are beyond the jurisdiction of the material world. By the speculation of empiric philosophy, which discerns matter from spirit, or by cultivation of mystic power, which ultimately helps the performer to reach any planet of the universe or beyond the universe, or by discharge of religious duties, one can achieve the highest perfection, provided one is able to reach the stage of Narayana Smriti, or constant remembrance of the personality of Godhead. This is possible only by the association of a pure devotee, who can give a finishing touch to the transcendental activities of all jnanis, yogis, or karmis in terms of prescribed duties defined in the scriptures. There are many historical instances of the achievement of spiritual perfection, such as that of Sanakadi Rishis, or the 9 celebrated Yogendras, who attained perfection only after being situated in the devotional service of the Lord. None of the devotees of the Lord ever deviated from the path of devotional service by taking to other methods as adopted by the jnanis or yogis. Everyone is anxious to achieve the highest perfection of his particular activity, and it is indicated herein that such perfection is Narayana Smriti, for which everyone must endeavor his best. In other words, life should be molded in such a manner that one is able to progressively remember the personality of Godhead in every step of life. So in this verse, it is the very famous line that is stated is Antanarayan Smriti. Antanarayan Smriti is that we should remember the Supreme Lord at the very end of life, and that is the essence of life. Srila Prabhupada is in the purport explaining that it's not just Antanarayan Smriti, but rather Narayan Smriti, or the constant remembrance of the personality of Godhead. That Narayan Smriti really is what leads to Antanarayan Smriti. If there is no Narayan Smriti, then there is no question of Antanarayan Smriti. It cannot be that just at the end of life we suddenly get very serious and try to remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So as it is stated at the very end of the purport, in other words, life should be molded in such a manner that one is able to progressively remember the personality of Godhead in every step of. So progressively remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead means that our meditation on the Supreme Lord should increase. Now, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is manifesting himself in, it is said, Nama Rupa Guna Lila. Right. And this is very important that we should understand that in the beginning we may not know the Supreme Personality of Godhead very well. But somehow or other we have faith that he is the Supreme Lord by hearing from a Vaishnava. And from the Vaishnava we begin to hear something about the Supreme Lord. And we understand certain basic principles. Maya jakshena prakrite suyate sacharacharam. That everything is going on by the control and direction of the Supreme Lord. But exactly how the Supreme Lord is doing so takes more hearing. It takes more understanding to understand how Krishna is the Supreme Lord. It's one thing to know he's the Supreme Lord, but then there are so many ways that Krishna is doing that. For example, looking at the painting on the wall, we are seeing Lord Mahavishnu, and we're seeing how from the pore holes of his body so many universes appear. So here we are looking at the largest form we can imagine of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So huge that the universes appear like pore holes from his body and unlimited universes. So how big Mahavishnu must be is inconceivable. Inconceivable for our mind. Even the universe is too big to conceive. So what to speak of Mahavishnu? So here we are contemplating on Krishna as the greatest. But Prabhupada also said, but the Lord is not only the greatest, he is also smaller than the smallest. He gave the example, he said, that modern man can make a very big plane, a Boeing, but can they make a plane as small as a mosquito, which will also fly around? No, they cannot. So far, we haven't got anything like that yet. We got lots of toys, but not that. The Supreme Lord, however, Prabhupada says, is the biggest of the biggest, and also the smallest of the smallest. So, gradually, we begin to understand more about Krishna. We begin to understand his qualities. We begin to understand how he acts and what his dealings are. And as we get to know the dealings of Krishna, we also begin to understand more and more how he is a wonderful personality. Sometimes we are considering that chanting the holy name is not so easy, that it's so difficult to fix the mind on the chanting, and that all the time when we try to focus our mind that it goes everywhere. But the more we realize who Krishna really is, the more easy and inspiring it becomes to chant his holy name. Therefore, hearing is directly inspiring us to chant. The more we hear about Krishna, the more we become attracted to chant his name. If Krishna is just an abstract kind of image, and we vaguely know, yes, he's the Supreme Lord, he is a person, then we're doing good. But still, if we know exactly how Krishna deals with his devotees, etc., how Krishna is the most wonderful personality, how he's really all attractive, not just that he's all attractive, but what is the meaning of Krishna? Krishna means all attractive. Okay, very nice. And does it stop there? No. It begins there. Right? It begins there. The next thing is to know how Krishna is all attractive. Because the more we know how Krishna is all attractive, the more we actually are speaking with realization. Otherwise, if we think, well, what is the meaning of Krishna? Well, yes, Krishna means all attractive. Where did you get that? From a dictionary. Very nice. And then it stops there, right? That's it. That's what it means, Krishna, all attractive. And, you know, yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's the right answer. Very good. You get it. You get the stamp, you know, you pass the test, you had the right answer. Krishna means all attractive. But if we go much deeper and we realize how Krishna is all attractive, then there's no end to it. Then we become like Ananta Shesh. Right? If one was asking Ananta Shesh, please tell us what is the meaning of Krishna, then Ananta Shesh keeps on talking with all his heads simultaneously, non-stop. He keeps on glorifying, just endlessly glorifying Krishna and describing Krishna and how there's no limit to Krishna. And then we are remembering how Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur made that statement, how we could just publish a Krishna conscious newspaper every day about the glories of Krishna. He said, why not? Right? Because there are unlimited glories of Krishna. We could publish unlimited newspapers. Why not? If you can publish a newspaper about Sydney or about a small country like Australia, right? A tiny little speck on planet Earth, and what is planet Earth, and so on. So in this way, Krishna's unlimited qualities. Therefore, by hearing about Krishna, Krishna becomes more and more meaningful to us. Because by hearing about Krishna, we understand the amazing qualities of Krishna and how Krishna is all attractive. Therefore, we must constantly hear about Krishna. Simultaneously, this transcendental sound vibration also works on a more subtle level. It does not just work on the level of our memory, but it also is purifying the heart. Srinivatam Swakata Krishnan. It is purifying the heart. Ridyantastuhi Abhadrani. It is removing all impurities from the heart. So how that exactly is taking place, we don't know. We know that the heart is a storehouse of karmic reactions, and the result of all these karmic reactions is that there are many material desires and sinful desires in the heart. So devotional service to Krishna, which is really the glorification of Krishna, is purifying the heart. All devotional service is glorifying Krishna. Right? Is somehow or other, even when we are serving Krishna, we are at the same time glorifying Him, because we are not just serving Krishna, we are meant to serve Krishna in a royal manner. It is explained in the Hari Bhakti Vilas that when we are worshipping Krishna in the deity form, that we should just worship Him in the same way as one is treating a king in a palace. So just as we are treating a king in a palace, a king doesn't eat of an ordinary plate, right? At least a golden or a silver, but some very ornamented special plate. Right? So it's not just a matter of taking care of Krishna's needs. It must be done in the most opulent, in the most wonderful fashion. So one aspect of all this is simply to proclaim the name, fame and glory of Krishna everywhere and always in all our actions. Therefore all devotional service ultimately is doing that, because we are either serving the deity or we're serving the name and the attributes, the fame of Krishna. In this way, nama guna, nama rupa guna lila are what we are serving, or the name, the form, the attributes and the pastimes of Krishna. We are always involved with these. Within the pastimes of Krishna, we also may initially just hear about these pastimes of Krishna, but ultimately we should understand that we also are part of the pastimes of Krishna, even now. Right? Even here in this material world, we are part of the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. An insignificant speck, right? We are praying, please place me as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. Right? The smallest particle in this material world is an atom. Right? That's the smallest particle, at least the basic particle. No, one may argue and say you can split atoms. We're not getting into that now. So basically, an atom is the, considered the smallest particle. So to be placed as an atom at Krishna's lotus feet means to say, I am the most insignificant. The most insignificant being, but anyway, place me at the atom, place me at your lotus feet as an atom. So, although I am not going to make much of a difference, I'm not going to be such a great, important personality who is going to impress the whole world with his wonderful achievements, right? It might be, though, if Krishna desires, then we see that one can become very famous. Prabhupada started only when other people die, right? Many people die at 70. That's what, generally at 70, you're either dying or retiring. That's the normal thing to do, right? So either preparing to die soon or actually doing it or even dying before. And Prabhupada then, instead of dying, just suddenly did the most amazing thing, became like the most famous personality. And so that's quite amazing, right? Everyone else, well, you've done it by then. By 70, you know, you can start writing your memoirs, right? There's nothing, not much else to do. You can just write like, okay, this was my life, you know, my life, right? And it's like, you're lucky if you finish your memoirs and that's it, you know. It's not much else to achieve anymore. But Prabhupada just simply started, right? He really started. So, and became very, very famous. And this is not even the beginning of Prabhupada's fame, because now Krishna consciousness is still in the bud. Now Krishna consciousness is still in its pioneering days. But there is no doubt that Krishna consciousness will spread more and more, and that it is spreading everywhere and all the time, because it's very, very powerful. Yesterday over lunch we were discussing a little bit that how, once you know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you can't forget that, right? Once you know it, then that doesn't go away. And even if you go away from following the principles of Krishna consciousness, from following the active process of devotional service, even if we turn away from devotional service, still we know that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. That you cannot forget. I know one devotee who left, and then he wrote a book, and the whole book was on how he was so frustrated when he had left ISKCON. He had become like very discouraged, and you know, was in an era maybe when he wasn't treated so nice, whatever had happened, and then his guru left, and then he left, and then he wrote this book. And the whole book, well, it started off to say, how can one think that God is a blue boy? That was his first thing. And the whole book was about the blue boy. It was like denying that he could be the Supreme Lord, this, that, you know. It was just a total denial of Krishna consciousness. But it was, the whole book was just a meditation on Krishna. And it's just like, poor guy, you know. It's like, you tried so hard to forget Krishna, and it really didn't work, didn't it? So much so that you had to write a book about him, you know? That's how it was. No, you don't exist, Krishna. You don't. No. Just like that. And it was, what can we say? It's not possible to forget Krishna. Only with the help of Krishna. Remembrance and forgetfulness come from Krishna. So ultimately, Krishna can allow the living entity to forget that he, Krishna, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is possible to forget Krishna. But once we've done so much devotional service, right, especially in this age, the age of Lord Chaitanya is not just so easily going to forget that devotional service. So even when we say, no, I don't want to remember you anymore, he's still, well, but you did so much service for me. So therefore, the remembrance will still stay. And then, apichit sudracharo bachate mamananya bhak sadriva samantavya samyak vyavasito hisaha. Then we cannot forget Krishna. And then, therefore, we are still saintly, even if we are not acting like devotees. So, forgetting Krishna is actually not so easy. I heard one boy of the Gurukul generation say that to his father. He said, the problem with you, with your generation, is you're always trying to remember Krishna. But we are trying to forget Krishna. Right? And it doesn't work. What to do? It is a fact. Right? So we may as well then surrender to the concept of actively remembering Krishna. And this is the most wonderful thing. And Vedic culture really knows how to do it. Right? There we can really learn so many things about how to remember Krishna. We see, for example, very wonderful plays, right? Very refined. I was in Spain 2 years ago, and the Manipuri dancers with a group of 35 had been in Spain, in Malaga. I missed a performance, but then they came to Barcelona, to the airport, and something happened with their tickets, and they got stranded for 5 days. And the Barcelona flat is temple is really a flat, that's all it is. Nice, a big flat, but it's just one story in a building. Right? Just one story in a building, and it's small. Right? So 35 of these people was really intense. There's a small restaurant, and there were Manipuris sleeping on the table. In every bed that was there in the building, there were two Manipuris, right? If you go into the showers, you find a whole bunch of Manipuris taking shower all at the same time. In the kitchen, some Manipuris were cooking. There were Manipuris everywhere, right? It was just, they'd taken over the temple. And, everyone was like, wow, you know, the Manipuris. How long is this going to last? But then, on the Sunday morning, all the Manipuris dressed up in their festival clothing, right? They got their drums out. The men got their drums out. The ladies had these huge round petticoats, right? You've seen them, like, just vertical round things, you know, a skirt goes like straight down like that. Anyway, they were all we went on Harinam like that, right? And they did like these big circle dances that they do backwards, right? They go around, spin around with mridangas really fast, and backwards. It's not in a big circle, doing little circles, flipping backwards like that. Anyway, it's a little hard to explain in words, I guess, but you gotta see it. It's quite impressive. So the people in the street couldn't believe it, right? A huge crowd of people, and we brought many people back to the Sunday feast. And then, so the place was packed, and then in the temple, they did a dance in the temple with their drums, and then at one point, They had the ladies doing a rasa dance, one of them dressed up like Krishna and others like gopis. And it was like, okay, nice. And when they started performing that, they were facing the deities. They were doing it for the deities. Now, I happened to sit close next to the deities, so I saw it from the front. But the rest of the audience, 90% of the people, just saw their back. Yeah? Saw them dancing and just looked at the back of the dancers. And he's thinking like, wow, what culture, right? What culture? They didn't do it for the people. They did it for Krishna. So this is like really Vedic tradition and Vedic culture. It reminded me of how there was a picture shown to Prabhupada of a drama performance, and the actors were with their back to the deity. And Prabhupada was really upset about it, and he called the entire GBC. First he said, who authorized this? And then it was says, Jaya Tirtha, the GBC authorized this. Prabhupada said, what? How can he authorize? Rupa Goswami says in the Nectar of Devotion, and he authorizes? How can he authorize? He said, this is like not right. And finally, he decided to call the whole GBC and make it like a big issue. It's like a famous story. One of those points that Prabhupada wanted to establish and drive across. And when I saw that, I was thinking, wow, this is perfect. They're doing it really right. Yeah? Just for Krishna. So this is so nice about culture. Yeah? About we don't know yet, really, how to remember Krishna. And this is something we are only practicing now. So for this we need culture. Just like in Vrindavan, it's so easy to remember Krishna. Not only because everywhere is a holy place where Krishna has performed some pastime, but also because there's such a huge culture around it of remembering Krishna. And every time it is some festival, it's celebrated in a huge way. Really, really far out, right? Something big, right? Something spectacular. That is the Vrindavan mood, right? Remember Krishna in a spectacular way. And everyone is competing to think of something really, really far out. And you see so many festivals. You see like the famous festival of Ram Vijay, where they are at the end are blowing up Ravana, and there's this huge Ravana packed up with firecrackers inside, and then a fiery arrow is shot inside, and the whole thing explodes, right? And it's spectacular. Not just some okay little thing, but a big thing, big explosion. So festivals are celebrated big. I saw once a Shivratri where they had a Lord Shiva sit on a big chariot with a huge mountain of ice on it, right? Just a big ice mountain, all steaming ice, right? Steaming ice. And then he was sitting with his trident on top of that ice mountain. And that was something, right? Everyone's like, wow. Right? So that's India, you know, like trying to do something really impressive, something far out in these festivals, in remembering Krishna, not just, well, yes, we're remembering Krishna. In South India, the deity is carried in so many palanquins, right? And these palanquins all have different forms and shapes. And there are palanquins which are like horses. And then there are families already in many generations. They don't do anything else but carrying deity palanquins. Yeah? They are the palakinis, right? And that is their business, carrying palanquins, right? So they're carrying these palanquins. And it's not just, okay, we're carrying the palanquin now, we're carrying the deity, you know. Okay, it's heavy, isn't it, boys? Yes. No. There's a whole art to it, right? They have different steps. Right? So for the horse palanquins, they naturally have horse steps. And it's like the horse. For the elephant, they have the elephant step, you know. You know what I mean? So like that, they have all the different steps, right? And it's just, they learn this from when they were their children, and by the time they're adults, they're so good, and they have so many different varieties of carrying it, and swinging it, you know, in the middle they stop, and I saw, and then they all go like, and it's like amazing what they do. And you look at that, it's just, and one family, just a whole generation after generation is just dedicated to that. Right? So in this way, so refined, right? This whole art of remembering Krishna. There's so much detail and so much to it that in that way we need a culture of remembering Krishna. Otherwise it becomes a little difficult. One time I was invited to someone's house, and devotees, and they served goulash, you know. I go like, goulash? Don't worry, vegetarian goulash. Oh, all right. And say, what would you like to drink, wine or beer? I go, wine or beer? You know, it's alcohol free. I go like, oh. Anyway, and then after, you know, after the whole thing, there was decaf coffee, you know. I kind of felt like, it's like, I don't know. It's like, it wasn't really like, it didn't really feel like jai prasadam, you know. Kind of, I don't know. You know what I mean? So, there's a whole culture. There's a whole culture, you know. It's like, it's not just prasadam, but it's like, if you have like a meal with all kinds of special preparations, you know, this is a preparation that Krishna really likes, you know, one of his favorite preps. Let's check that out. This one is Lord Chaitanya personally ate it with his associates. It's Heilancha Sak, and this Heilancha Sak is one of those type of spinach which will give you special benedictions, which I now forgot because my method. Look it up in my notebooks. I'm sorry, I can't tell you now what Heilancha Sak will give you, but I can tell you later. I'll check it up for you. It says, if you get me the songbook from over there, it's in there. It should be, if it's the right print. Yeah. So, like that, put the other one down too. Like that, there is a whole culture in Krishna consciousness, and that's what we actually require. Otherwise, it becomes difficult to remember Krishna. So it's not just a matter of saying, remember Krishna, try to remember Krishna, chant the holy name, chant, keep your mind fixed on that holy name, just bring it back, you know, by force, somehow or other, by hook or crook, you know, keep that mind fixed on that holy name. It's slippery like anything, boy, it's tough to keep your mind on that name, right? The impossible task, mission impossible, keep your mind on the holy name, you know, right? Yes, tenth offense against the holy name, to be inattentive while chanting, well, guess who's the biggest offender in me? Find out about Krishna, the more easy it becomes to remember the holy name. This is the wrong songbook. Yeah. Weird. Yeah, Prasad Sevya. Oh, I found something here. 46. Let's see if this is the right spot. No. Wrong song. What to do? We will never know what Heilancha Sak does for us. I'll have to check. But good things. Right? There's a whole culture. So if we eat different preparations that remind us of Krishna, because Krishna himself is also eating them, right, it obviously becomes much more enlivening, much more Krishna conscious. And if you Well, then we get all kinds of special Mahaprasadam, right? That makes a big difference. It's not that Krishna is a prasadam machine, that we know. So it's not just a matter of, well, you put whatever is vegetarian, right? It's got to be vegetarian, right? You read the label, you check it all out, right? Got the right E-numbers and everything, it's okay. It's vegetarian, right? It's bona fide. Plunk it on the plate. Ring the bell, you know, murmur the mantras, and politely wait for Krishna, you know, to go about. Clap your hands and prasadam, right? Okay. We had one devotee in the Vrindavan temple. He was doing home programs, and then, you know, Indian families, because in India, and then so the people were vegetarian, and they would cook then, and then the devotee, he would come and offer it, right? And then he had the habit of, like, he'd get a few people to stand there with a curtain, you know, hold up a cloth, and then behind the cloth, right, first there's like some murmuring of mantras. And then he would light a whole bundle of incense, you know. So then you see this huge amount of smoke appearing from behind that curtain, you know. And it's like, damn, lots of bells, and the whole thing. And at the end, the people were so satisfied. Wow, this is really prasad. It was very successful. Wow, this is really prasad. So much smoke, so much bell, so much conch shell. Very powerful prasad. Right? So, not exactly like that, right? Krishna is not a prasadam machine, and it's not all about mystic tricks. But prasadam, prasadam is not just prasadam. There are all kinds of distinctions amongst prasadam, right? Because it all depends really on the devotion it has been offered with. It is described that when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had taken sannyas, that all the residents of Navadvip were dying. One night there was a wonderful kirtan, and this kirtan had been going on and on. 3 hours, 6 hours, 9 hours, the whole night. Lord Advaita Acharya had danced and danced, only to be matched by Lord Nityananda. Right. And in the morning, one of the devotees had gotten a little tired after 9 hours of chanting and thought, let me find a quiet corner in the house somewhere and take a nap. When he woke up, the whole house was empty. So when he came out, he met one of the devotees and he asked him, did you see the Lord? He said, no. Do you know where he is? He said, well, must be home. Everyone's gone home. He said, must be home. He said, no, he's not. He said, like, well, you know. Then, he says, we can't find him anywhere. He said, no, we must just look. They said, we already did. We looked everywhere. He said, no, but we should really look. We really looked. Lord Chaitanya is gone. Lord Chaitanya was gone. Lord Chaitanya was gone for 1 hour. Everyone was in total anxiety. Lord Chaitanya was gone for 3 hours. The devotees were just thinking, this is the end of the world. When Lord Chaitanya was gone for 6 hours, the devotees were just thinking, why am I still alive? It just proves that I have no devotion at all. The fact that I didn't die means I have no devotion at all. So Lord Chaitanya was gone. Finally, Lord Chaitanya was gone. For 3 days, Lord Chaitanya had taken sannyas, right? So after Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, everyone was just dying and dying and dying in anxiety. Finally, The devotees realized that not only Lord Chaitanya left, but also Lord Nityananda was gone and Archaya Ratna was also gone. Then, after 3 days of hope against hope, right, it said it was just the rope of hope that kept them from drowning altogether in total separation. That little string of hope was still keeping them alive. And then Acharya Ratna, they heard the voice of Acharya Ratna. He was talking out loud to himself and said, why did I leave Lord Chaitanya? How could I do it? Why didn't I just stay? Why didn't I ignore? He said, what could I do? It was just on the order of Lord Nityananda that I left him, that I came here. In this way, Acharya Ratna was talking to himself, and there he was. Everyone said, Acharya Ratna, where's the Lord? Acharya Ratna couldn't speak. He said, please tell us. What happened? How is he? Where is he? How is he? And then Acharya Ratna said, no, I cannot tell. He said, no, you must tell. Tell. So finally Acharya Ratna said,
the Lord took some rose.
He said, what?
The Lord took some rose.
He covered his hand with his mouth as he spoke. Right. And he said, but someone understood. What? The Lord took sannyas. And then great separation. So everyone was freaking out. But then Acharya Ratna gave the message of Lord Nityananda, and the message was that somehow or other I will bring the Lord to the house of Advaita Acharya. Okay, the time is running out, so I'm going to cut the story short now. But I still have 2 minutes according to the clock. Okay, so intimidating. Be conscious of the curtain. So at that time Mother Sachi was also brought to the house of Advaita Acharya. Finally, by tricks, they brought Lord Chaitanya to the house of Advaita Acharya, and then Mother Sachi cooked like she'd never cooked before. She was a great cook, but this time she cooked, right, in such a mood of separation. So that prasadam was prasadam like nobody had ever tasted. Anybody who tasted that, it's just like overwhelmed, such prasadam. Right? So prasadam is not just prasadam. Okay, buy some soy chunks, you know. Okay, buy a few bottles of, you know, the fizzy stuff with the, you know, bottle of bubbles and a few, you know, and some decaf and ring the bell and here we are, you know, it's vegetarian. We see that it goes a lot further. It goes a lot further. So the more we get into the culture of Krishna consciousness, of the name, the form, the attributes, and the pastimes of Krishna, in all these, then the more natural it will be to remember Krishna all the time. Okay, gotta stop with that. Sorry, no time for questions. Save them for later. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada.